Heyo! Episode 12 of the Ron and Brian podcast. As always, I'm Ron, joined by the DD to my go-go, Brian. Brian, how we doing this evening, sir?
I'd be doing a heck of a lot better if I knew who DD and go-go were.
I'm a little disappointed in you. Maybe it's the English major in me. Those would be the nicknames of the main characters in Waiting for Godot.
I did not know that that was something to... I didn't even know that was a book.
Really? Samuel Beckett play?
Mm-mm. Ooh, it just shows you my ignorance.
Vladimir Estragon?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing we're not waiting on is digging into our drink of the week. I think I showed you my Gardish game is on point again this week. What did you say?
I would say you're looking fine over there. See, I neglected the lime wedge. That was not on my list of things to do today. But I'm going to tell you something. This mojito is every time I take a sip, it's like riding a wave of victory.
I'm not going to lie. I've never had a mojito before, but it's quite tasty.
I don't like the little pieces of mint.
See, that's why I don't muddle too forcefully. Oh, you know, I just muddle enough to get the mint oil out.
See,
and then I kind of ease off a little bit. You kind of got to tease the mint leaf a little bit, kind of work around it. You don't want to go right on it. Boom, 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 boom. That's not effective muddling.
Which probably explains my premature ejaculation, because
I'm just saying
when I muddle, it's, you know, I'm putting all force in, as you know, fast repeated breaks, trying to break up the mint cells to release as much of the flavor as I can, and that's why if you look closely, you'll see that my mojito resembles at least at the top. How do I describe this? It looks like the seaweed has come in with the tide.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some drinks that are perfectly okay. They like it rough, but I think it really depends, and you gotta talk to your drink, and you gotta understand what it really needs, and go with it from there. That's just my bit of advice for you.
One of the things I believe that we are missing out on this bit in terms of the drink of the week is that it's like we're one and done. We are, you know, we're trying a drink and we're moving on. Maybe as, you know, as time goes on and we start reaching, you know, the triple digit episodes, that we will return to drinks that we've previously had and want to sample again. But I feel like I could have made a better mojito, and next week we're going to move on and I won't be going back to the mojito.
You will not. No, we actually had a listener suggestion from Johanna in Queens. Is it Johanna or Joanna?
Johanna. And she's actually in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I did not know that. So she does pronounce the H in her name.
Yes. And this, I think, gets to the core of why we are struggling to really engage with our fan base, is that you're not even digging deep into who our listeners are. You're just assuming where they're reaching out from.
I made an assumption, but one thing I will give her credit for is pronouncing the H. Back in my single days, I was seeing a woman named Joanna with the H. She didn't pronounce the H, and it bugged the living hell out of me. I'm like, it's Johanna. Johanna. No, it's Joanna. No. Why is the H there then? There's no such thing as a silent H. That's all I'm saying.
Did you ever meet the parents?
No, I did not. It was a very casual thing. Understood. It was never a serious relationship. And frankly, given the status of that H in her first name, I don't think it ever could have been serious.
Understood. It's very difficult to take somebody seriously if they don't even pronounce their own name right.
Truth. Truth to that. So what were the two drinks that she selected for next week for us?
Her recommendations were the Gin Madras and the Cape Codder.
All right.
So those.
I don't know about you, but I did not research those at all.
Listen, if there's anything you know about me, is that I'd be research absolutely nothing. So therefore, I think that as soon as we're done here, I will create our Facebook poll for the drink of the week. And while doing so, I'm going to look up and see what's in each of them. Obviously, the gin Madras sounds like it sounds like you're drinking gin. And then you're going to a Islamic school.
A tapas bar, perhaps.
Oh, a tapas bar. Nice, nice. See, that's why you're classier than I. I went for the low-hanging fruit. I believe a madrasa is an Islamic school. While you went for the high-end tuna tartare taco with some shaved coconut on top.
And I feel like the Cape Codder will involve cranberries in some way. I don't know why. I just feel that.
Because you're probably right. As long as it does not include cod, the fish, I think we'll
or
be okay.
Clams or oysters. That's what I think of when I think of Cape Cod. I think of shellfish.
How many times have you been to Cape Cod?
A couple of times. And I've always had shellfish when I've been in Cape Cod. That but never sense. Cranberries. Go
really?
Figure.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
Now, do you want to call dibs on either of these drinks? I mean, you are on a 2-week winning spree now. The mojito was your drink, as I refer to it, the pumpkin spice latte of the drink world.
That hurt. And that hurt when you put that up there. I felt a little pain.
You know, I want to just get one thing clear. Some people felt that I was implying that you were a hashtag basic bitch. And I would just like to clear that and say I was specifically saying that you are a hashtag basic bitch. In a good way, though. You know I got love for you.
I will say this to you, is that next Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, I will be boomeranging videos of us toasting our beverages, hashtagging basic bitch. Check out the Instagram at Ron and Brian podcast, though it might be the Ron and Brian podcast. I just go to our Facebook. It's all tagged there. It's all linked there. You'll find all of our links. Website in the works.
There you go. Any other comments on drink of the week?
No, I'm not enjoying the muddle.
No, you're not enjoying
the
well.
I muddle too much. It's a paste. It's a thick paste at the top of my drink.
Maybe what I'll do is when you're down here this weekend, I'll come up behind you, I'll cradle your arms in mine, and I'll show you how to muddle properly, man to man.
Will it be like that scene in Ghost with Demi Moore?
Pretty much.
Okay. Speaking of Demi Moore, I'd like to point out to our listeners that the upcoming Comedy Central roast of Bruce Willis is coming up this weekend, and Demi Moore does make an appearance from what I heard.
She does.
Yeah, she is the
Demi, or does she settle the whole Demi de me thing finally?
I want you to know something. There is a woman who also doesn't know how to pronounce her own name because it's Demi, and I believe she prefers Demi.
Just a lot of that going on in the world right now.
Much like I had a semi erection when I first saw her. Once again, I go for the low hanging fruit. Hashtag basic.
I'm just gonna go out there and I'm gonna claim the gin Madras for this upcoming week. I'm gonna pick that to be mine.
Then I've got the Cape Codder.
Because I'm a gin man, I don't know what to tell you. But I am enjoying the rum in this mojito.
Yeah, I think we've had too many rum drinks lately. I think we've got to move on.
I agree, 100%. Speaking of moving on, let's move on to one of our favorite bits, This Week in Racism.
This week in
Racism.
And winner once again this past week, Anne Marie Messiano beat out Morty the Coupon Guy. Again, I think it was kind of a one-sided battle. Just because she was so horrible and choked somebody out, I don't know that the Coupon CVS guy was much of a matchup. I think Anne Marie could be another, you know, I think she could have some longevity. I think we could be seeing another Nathan Larson type dominance over the next couple of weeks. Yet again, not difficult to find a ton of stories to possibly feature. We had the Charlotte area man yelling racial slurs at a black family after seeing an anti-Trump sign in their yard. We had Milwaukee Brewer pitcher Josh Hader, who had a bunch of racist, homophobic, and misogynistic tweets that were revealed online while he was pitching in the All-Star game. Although on a side note, he was given a standing ovation by fans in Milwaukee in his home return the other night. So stay classy, Milwaukee.
Can we spend a couple moments on that guy?
We certainly can.
Because I felt that he, I mean, okay, we've got a baseball player who is in the major leagues. He seemed relatively young. I don't believe he had hit like veteran status or whatnot. And he made the All-Star team this year. So during the All-Star game, while he is pitching, suddenly it starts to leak into social media that that he posted several misogynistic, he posted several racist tweets several years ago when he was a teenager, and several involved the N-word, referred to women as a garden tool. See, I stay classy. I know how to keep it. I'm not basic. I know how to.
Yep.
And what I found fascinating is that all of this leaks during the game, and his family, who are sitting in the stands watching him pitch, are notified by officials from Major League Baseball who come over to them during the game and make a polite recommendation that they take off their jerseys with his name on the back, because things are going to get mighty uncomfortable over the next couple innings.
I saw that. I think, in fact, they initially took off his jersey, turned them inside out, and wore them that way until some of the people from the Brewers were able to bring them just some generic jerseys without any names on them whatsoever.
Which just leads me to wonder, and this is something where, going back to last week, where we were saying how everybody should have a body cam on them, because I know there's pay per view. You can pay, you can rent videos on Vimeo. I would pay to watch the body cam video of that poor MLB official who was sitting there watching the All-Star game, just having the time of his life, saying to himself, it doesn't get better than this. This is the All-Star game, the best that we have, representing our sport. This is where it's going to be big. Gets the tap on the shoulder. I'm going to call this guy Doug. Someone taps him on the shoulder, says, Dougie, I need you to come with me for a second. Doug's sitting there thinking like, oh my gosh, do I have to run down to the clubhouse and get another case of baseballs for some autographs? Like what? Dougie, I need you to go down to section 32, row 8, because that's where the family of this player is, and you've got to let them know in as gentle of a way that they need to take off their shirts because their family member, who is right now on the field, is a flaming racist and is getting brutalized on social media right now.
It's probably not in the job description, I would think.
Absolutely not. But just the video of him taking the elevator down from the media level down to like the field level, walking through the stands. And I'm assuming it's a guy. I don't want to be sexist. This could have been a her. So I'm just going to go with the they pronoun. All right. So this way because I'm woke. And were they walking through the stands practicing the speech? Were they saying, excuse me, what was the kid's name, Hader?
Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me, Mr. and Mrs. Hader. There seems to be, no, that's not good. No, that seems to be, there. Excuse me, Mr. and Mrs. Hader. My name is Dougie from MLB. Here are my credentials. And I was hoping that you would be, see to it. We've got just a little situation with your son. It appears he's embarrassed the entire family and baseball. He used the N-word multiple times a couple of years back and be public on his Twitter feed for the entire world to see. Yeah, can you take your shirts off? Yeah, yeah, I'm going to need you to just go ahead and do that. Okay, yeah.
Instead, we've got some Aaron Judge jerseys here. Much more valuable. Maybe you could put those on.
Yeah, you really want to be seen. You know, Aaron Judge, he's kind of like, he's the kind of player that we're trying to promote in this league, to get the kids. And I don't, your son's going to have a lot of apologizing to do in about 38 seconds.
But oh, clearly, must have been fun. The fans in Milwaukee have forgiven him already, given him the standing out.
Well, they were never. Well, let's be honest. What were they standing for?
I have no idea.
I mean, were they
apparently when he came in the game, they gave him a standing ovation.
Were they saying we agree with what you said? Were they saying, you know, you made an apology and now everything's forgiven? Like,
I think it was that. I think they're just that he's made an apology. He's going to go through some sensitivity training, and I think they were just saying, hey, we still support you, Josh.
I thought that the people of Milwaukee were a little bit stronger. Keep in mind, I have tasted Miller Lite, and it is a god-awful beer. So therefore, that Milwaukee, your town is crap. Prove me wrong. Change my mind. But right. I would have. But what on earth were they standing up for?
I don't know. But he just gets an honorable mention this week. And this week in racism, we've got the white woman who called the cops on a black man listening to a yoga CD in his car. In Tennessee, we have a group of white men who are pelting a black cyclist with a bottle and yelling racial slurs at him. What else? We got the customer at Saltgrass Steakhouse in Odessa, Texas, had a server named Khalil and wrote, "We don't tip terrorists," on their bill. The customer has since been banned at the entire chain of steakhouses. We have the white woman who tells the biracial family to get out of Berkeley and then cries when she is arrested. We have the police called on a black man in San Francisco for breaking into his own business. We've got the white man who spat on and shoved a Korean woman after a verbal assault on the New York City subway. And we have the Georgia college student who tried to blame spell check after texting the N-word accidentally to her new black roommate.
Do you have do you have access right now to those texts?
I will tell you that.
Because I think I would love to hear you read them.
I will say this. The excuse that the woman texted back to her roommate was, "Oh, my God, that was spell check. I meant to say that you didn't look triggerish." And I'll just let you imagine what the initial tweet was. So that woman has since deleted all of her social media accounts and have gone into hiding.
Now tell me that dorm room's going to be awfully awkward when they go to bed at night.
So, but our focus this week is on Sidewalk Susie, who is actually Teresa Lund, the executive director of the Harvard Humanitarian Initiative. She tried to intimidate Allison La Liberty, whose daughter was playing on the sidewalk in front of a bunch of apartments where they both lived. Lund claimed La Liberty's daughter was keeping her children awake, even though it was 3:30 on a Saturday afternoon. Lund also asked if she, quote, lived in one of the affordable units or one of the Harvard units. So we actually have a little video that Allison shot here.
Did I swear at you?
I didn't swear at you.
You just swore.
You heard me wrong.
You're lying.
You're lying.
Okay.
I'm going to sit right here.
Okay.
With you.
You sit right there.
You are a sweetheart. I'm sorry that we're arguing with your mommy. She's not being very nice.
Are you just mad because I won't get off my own property? I think that's why you're mad right now.
I don't care.
Okay, so go back upstairs to your kids. Like, why are you sitting here with me?
I'm sitting here because you're preventing my children from sleeping. Do you like me to tell them to you?
Who's even watching your kids right now? Are you? Because you're not. You're here with me and my kid.
Are you in one of the affordable units? Or are you in one of the Harvard units?
Mind your business.
I live here. This is my business. Okay, this is good. My home.
Okay, so sit with me. But it's none of your business where I live, what my name is. No, actually it really isn't. No, because you're the only one down here right now. There's nobody else out here saying that we've, you know, are starting trouble, so.
I'm not saying you shut up. I'm asking you nicely.
Okay, but I'm not going anywhere, ma'am. I live here. My kid is not doing anything wrong. Why should I leave?
Which unit do you live in?
It's none of your business.
It is because I will come outside your window and scream.
Okay.
You're outside mine.
Okay.
Go with the bunny!
Now excuse me while I go tend to my kid because you're obviously not.
So what is more, which part is more condescending to you when she goes to the woman's daughter and says, "I'm sorry your mommy's being like this, you're so sweet," or when she asks about if they live in the affordable units?
Definitely the affordable units. What I listening to that conversation, the thing that really struck me was the tone that both women were using. There was such a passive aggressive, I'm not angry, I'm not upset, I'm not the problem, so I'm going to use my Bill Goss voice as much as possible because I don't want anyone to think that in any way I am causing problems. Meanwhile, I am going to say something truly awful to another human being who happens to live in my same apartment complex that I'm going to have to see on multiple occasions. But because I'm not raising my voice, nobody can accuse me of doing wrong.
It's like, I don't want to bring attention to myself, and I don't want people walking down the sidewalk to think that we might be having a fight here. So Lund has since apologized for her behavior and has been placed on the very popular administrative leave from the Harvard Humanitarian Initiative, according to the initiative director, Michael J. Van Ruyen.
Hold on.
Is it really more of an Ivy League-sounding name than Michael J. Van Ruyen?
He sounds like he's a member of the Saratoga County Republican Party. So this woman, so Sidewalk Sally, works for Harvard?
She works for she's the executive director of the Harvard Humanitarian Initiative.
So
Harvard.
Potato, potato. Basically. So she works for Harvard.
She's in Harvard.
An apartment complex where Harvard rents half the units and there's affordable housing in the other half.
That's my take on it, yes.
All right, yeah. See, this is why I think she warrants the Racist of the Week nomination.
Please make your case, sir.
My case is this, is that we are talking about what we've witnessed over the course of our Racist of the Week poll, which I have to say has taken shape way better than I thought it ever would. I mean, it's incredible the amount of racism that's out there. But we have what we see really, you know, a fork in the road in terms of the types of racists. Now, the ones that seem to get the most attention are the screamers, the shouters, the cursers, the violent people, the ones that show up and just start using profanities and racial epithets and really just offensive things that people would just across the board say that's abhorrent, and I just that person, you know, is just a terrible human being. Where I think this woman, where she falls into the second group, which are the people who don't believe they're racist, don't want to think that they're racist, would deny that they're racist, would sit there and say, oh no, I'm a humanitarian, so you know, I spent 1 week in Haiti after the earthquake, and I donated $50 to the people of Puerto Rico after they had the hurricane last summer. There's no way that I can be racist. But then, when the slightest thing triggers them, suddenly their racism comes to the surface. And suddenly you find yourself sitting there saying, my children can't sleep right now, so because of your skin color, I'm going to assume you live in the affordable housing units, which means that you're a second-class citizen compared to me.
So are you saying that Teresa Lund is triggerish?
I'm saying she is very triggerish.
All right. So again, she is on leave. Van Ruyen initially defended her on Twitter, saying Teresa Lund is an ethical and principled individual and leader, and that the recent posts do not represent who she is. That tweet has since been deleted. It also has not been stated how long this administrative leave will be for, but if history is any indication, it'll be until the negative press dies down, and then she'll probably go back to work.
My assumption. I know we've spoken about this, but do you agree that her job should be affected because of what she does outside of work?
It's a tough call.
Now, it sounds she's getting some type of subsidized housing because she works for Harvard, and maybe not monetarily, but if she did not work for Harvard, she wouldn't be eligible for housing in this apartment complex. That I'm going to assume, which I can understand, maybe that affects her housing situation. But unless there was some type of agreement where if you live in our sponsored housing, you have to abide by a certain code of conduct, I don't understand why her job should be up for some level of administrative leave because of something she did outside of work.
Well, I would imagine, you know, in a situation like this where you work for a humanitarian initiative, I would, and you're the head of that. If you're the executive director of a humanitarian initiative, and your ability to judge people by their race, by their skin color, by their creed, you know, could that possibly, you know, is especially like you said, if she's the kind of person that, you know, doesn't realize maybe that she has that implicit racism, you know, could that potentially be affecting the way that she runs this humanitarian initiative?
But maybe she doesn't, and maybe there's been no signs of it. Like, how would you feel if in your current jobs, your boss calls you into his office one day and says, because you referred to the mojito as a pumpkin spice latte of the bar scene, well, that's not how we want our name to be used. We don't want to be associated with those types of thoughts. And well, Ronald, we're going to have to put you on leave.
I mean, I wouldn't like it, but unfortunately, it is what it is. I'm in a right to work state, as are most Americans at this point. So, you know, we're limited into the relief we can have in a situation like that.
Well, the way we're going right now with our current president administration, we're pretty much going to have the right not to work pretty soon.
That's the way it's going. I know we kind of make light in some of these This Week in Racism stories. Unfortunately, kind of a sad story from Pennsylvania this past weekend, where a 25-year-old Pennsylvania man was shot and killed Saturday by a fellow bar patron who had been berating his friend using racial epithets. Chad Merrill, father of a four-month-old baby boy, was shot and killed around 1 a.m. Saturday in Hellam Township, Pennsylvania. You know, this is, again, this is the ugly side of the country. This is the very ugly side of the racism. You know, you have somebody going out to defend his friend and gets killed for it. And now you've got a four-year-old boy without a father now because
that's just terrible. I saw that article, and it's just sad. It's just a sad state that we live where you can't even go to a bar nowadays. Well, this guy's not going to be able to go to a bar because he's dead. But I'm talking about just the level of racism that there is out there. So we've got our poll,
right?
We'll have
Teresa Lund going up against two-time champion Anne Marie Messiano, and so we'll have that poll up on the Facebook page shortly. But speaking of racism, we're going to throw it all the way back to our very first This Week in Racism competition. One of them was Aaron Schlossberg. Do you remember who Aaron Schlossberg went up against?
I have absolutely no memory of that.
Well, he went up against Roseanne Barr.
Oh, yes.
Who was in the news against this week. She was obviously she made some racist tweets about Valerie Jarrett, lost her TV show. Now she has started her own YouTube channel so she can bring her message to the masses. It's an absolute train wreck. I have one clip here, which I'm not even sure why they put it up, because it was really just a couple minutes of her ranting. I cut it down to about 20 some seconds. I think my favorite part of this video is if you go to her YouTube page and you look at this video, it says as the caption to this video, you know, Roseanne cutting through the bullshit like only she can. And yet this entire clip was bullshit, especially this part right here.
I'm trying to talk about Iran. I'm trying to talk about Valerie Jarrett wrote the Iran deal.
I know, but you've told me this 300 times. Do you know that
that's what my tweet was about.
I know. You've explained this literally 300 times.
I thought the bitch was white. God damn it. I thought the bitch was white. Fuck.
Well, let me play the official statement, which she then ended up posting later on.
Hi, this is Roseanne Barr.
And I'd like to welcome you to my own studio, where I'm able to speak for myself to my fellow and sister Americans without the filter of the biased media. This was my statement from the very beginning, and it will continue to be forever because it is the truth. When ABC called and asked me to explain my egregious and unforgivable tweet, I told them I thought Valerie Jarrett was white. And I also said, and I'm willing to go on The View, Jimmy Kimmel, or whatever other show you want me to go on and explain that to my audience. Now, instead what happened was about 40 minutes after that, my show was canceled before even one advertiser pulled out, and I was labeled a racist. Why, you ask? Well, the answer is simple. It's because I voted for Donald Trump, and that is not allowed in Hollywood.
So just a couple of things. When she first said egregious and offensive tweet, she did little air quotes saying that she didn't agree. And I don't know why when you say fellow and sister Americans, it just kind of bugs me. I don't know why that is. She's just fellow Americans, right? I mean, I understand fellow can mean male, but it can also just mean, I don't know. Again, it's an English major in me.
No, Ron, she's clearly not speaking to the dogs, the American cats, the American hamsters. She wants nothing to do with the American ferrets. And also, clearly, she's not talking to any of the immigrants that don't consider themselves Americans but are here. Maybe the tourists. Maybe she's not talking to the family that are visiting here from England for the week.
Perhaps.
Taking our lovely sights.
The thing that, you know, a couple of things. Number one, you know, when she got her TV show, I think it was fairly evident at that point that Hollywood knew that she had voted for Trump, since that was kind of one of the storylines of the show itself, was that her character in the show was a Trump voter based on the fact that, you know, Roseanne herself was a Trump voter and supporter. So I don't think that stands up too much. And it's not like this is the first time that she had made an ape reference referring to an African-American back in 2013. She tweeted about Susan Rice, who is an African-American woman, saying she had a dick and big hairy ape balls.
Mm. Sorry, you just distracted me from the podcast, Ron.
No problem.
Can you add? I know that you surprised me with the opening. Sometimes we've got the Arrested Development opening. Sometimes it goes right to the music. Can you add the Roseanne screaming, "I thought the bitch was white"?
Oh, certainly.
Can we add that to the opening? Because I think we, what I remember was as a kid listening to Howard Stern, he started off like a 5-minute opening where it was just old like clips of different things, and eventually it was like 20 minutes long. I think we should do that to the point where we literally basically discuss the drink of the week, racist of the week, and then sign off.
So maybe like a 55-minute intro,
yes.
5-minute podcast,
yes.
Boom, out the door.
We didn't play the, did we play this with the racist jingle this week?
I remembered it this week. I'm getting better at this.
All right, good. But yeah, I clearly this is someone who is not, how do I say this politely? She doesn't seem stable. And there's people that are unstable throughout this world, throughout this country at all levels. Some are functioning, some are not functioning. She obviously, I believe she's a functioning, unstable person. But what I'm amazed at are the people that don't know when to just shut up and to just not talk, not say something, and realize that they've crossed the line at some point, and to just kind of let things slide through.
Right. I mean, there are people that will just go on and on, regardless of whether, you know, what they're saying makes sense or anything like that. I kind of think back to our old newsman, Scott, for example. Sometimes it would be that way. So if you want to check out Scott, check out hours 1 and 2 of the Ron and Brian 25th CDB anniversary at our iTunes and Podbean page. In fact, I think I have a clip of, I remember when Scott was rambling on about sexual encounters and all that?
Yes, I remember. If I remember, he went into quite explicit detail about his sexual history. And frankly, I was surprised at a bunch of things that he had admitted to.
Like this.
I believe we had the worst sexual relations of all time. I really struggled with him.
I mean, and...
Yes, I certainly did have sexual relations with him.
Just on and on the same thing. So we'll have to have Scott back on to really kind of explain himself and some of these things. Which just goes to show you, some people can just go on these rants and they don't know when to shut themselves up.
No, not at all. And that was an instance, especially somebody who who prides themselves on being a member of their of the Republican Party within their county, Saratoga County. I'm surprised that Scott was willing to discuss his struggles with male sexual acts.
Surprising, but you know, maybe we'll get him to elaborate.
It would be great.
Speaking of people that can't shut up all the time, we do have an Elon Musk update. The New York Post, Maureen Callahan, had a scathing opinion piece this past weekend referring to Elon Musk as a fraud. And she points out a few different things, which even I wasn't aware of. Some interesting information in here. In November 2017, Bloomberg reported that the company burns through $500,000 per hour. We've got two top executives that have left the company. She mentions about the Tesla driver that was killed while test driving an autopiloted Model X. The two teenagers were killed in a Tesla Model S since after a battery fire. What else do we have here? All the investigations by California's Division of Occupational Safety and Health. What else? Just basically saying everything he's done is no good. SpaceX, Hyperloop's a fraud. So I think everybody's getting on the Elon Musk supervillain bandwagon after last week's podcast.
But I will not rest until he starts to end his sentences by dipping his pinky into the corner of his mouth.
Then you'll know for sure.
Yes. That diver is a pedo.
We're going to drill under your city.
I just want lasers. Lasers.
Let me launch another missile with a car inside of it.
I'm going to send over a submarine that's too big for the hole and complain when they don't use it.
I don't like the color yellow and beeping forklifts in my factory.
Are people dying in my company? I don't care.
I don't like when my employees judge me when I order Papa John's for lunch. One too many, my friend.
But what I do find interesting is that last week you called him out.
Right.
You had some well-researched issues about Elon Musk. And then literally within a couple of days, suddenly I see all these articles about the dark side of Musk.
I mean, I will say this, you know, the podcast was out there. A large percentage of our listenership is in the New York area. You know, you put two and two together and tell me what you come up with. That's all I'm saying.
Were you about to make a Jesse Jackson Jaime Town joke? Is that I'm not even sure where you were going with that.
I don't think I was. I'm just saying we have listeners in New York, and then the New York Post writes articles about what we're doing here.
Oh, I get it. We should.
You got it now.
Now I get it. We should be on the payroll. Is what you're saying. Would you, if the New York Post offered to pay you for a weekly column, would you do it?
I'm not quite sure because, was it them or was it the Daily News that just like laid off half of their news staff?
Daily News.
Daily News. All right. So Post, yes, I probably would take a paycheck because it seems like they might actually have some money still. Daily News, not so much.
The Post is literally a vanity project for Rupert Murdoch.
Yes.
Like, so the money is not actually being made from the New York Post. It's just he just keeps funneling money in there so he has a outlet to support the Republicans in one of the most Democratic towns on the Eastern Seaboard.
Listen, we've talked about selling out in the past, so you know neither of us have an issue with that.
I would sell out in a heartbeat. So, I mean, I would take any sponsors if I could. If we had, if there were companies that wanted us to sell erectile dysfunction pills, I would promote it. If there were some a balm that people could rub on their scalp to increase hair growth, I would promote it. Chinese herbs that come in powdered form that are sold with no labels on them. I would promote anything on this podcast if it meant that we put some money in our pockets.
I mean, to the folks at Litter Robot, I'm a fan of your product. If you wanted to send me another one for free or at a deeply discounted price, I would welcome that also. Just throwing that out there.
We're shameless.
I mean, we got a lot of cats. I need as many litter robots as I can get up in here.
How's the dog?
The dog is good. You know, it's got a papoose. It's got a backpack. My wife carries it around a lot. it's become like a fashion accessory for her. But it's a cute dog. It's slowly growing on me, little by little.
Good. Have you worn the papoose yet?
I will not put on the papoose. I know you were hoping for that.
I will hope for that until my last breath has exited my body.
We had hoped also to get through a week without having to mention President Trump, but then he has to go crazy on Twitter, as he often does, and threaten Iran. And he used capital letters.
All caps.
You know shit is real.
All caps.
A grown man is using all caps on Twitter.
To President Rouhani, and then this is where the all caps begin. Never, ever threaten the United States again, or you will face consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. That is all one sentence, I'd like to point out. No commas. I mean, it's just literally a run-on. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. I think I'm going to start ending all my emails with be cautious.
I mean, it is, you know, it seems like a good idea in general, just be cautious.
Yeah, I think so. You know, especially when you're sitting on your on the steps in front of your apartment building and a woman comes by with her kids who are playing and you decide to yourself, should I be cautious right now? Or should I be blatantly racist? No.
Sorry, went back to my Elon Musk voice there.
Perfect. Listen, if that's going to be an ongoing character, I think we need to let it breathe. It needs to age. I would go with it.
Need to work on it a bit.
Yeah.
Do you feel Donald Trump would be as effective as he is if Twitter was still limiting you to 140 characters? Do you think he can threaten a foreign nation as effectively in 140 characters as he can with the 280 character limit now?
Yes, he would just simply use two different tweets.
All right. This is just more efficient, basically, is what you're saying.
Hey, I'm going to be honest. I have no problem with him going after Iran. I mean,
okay.
They have, I mean, the fake news, if you believe in it, has pretty much acknowledged that they are striving to be a nuclear power, that they are going to, that they have sponsored terrorism, and their actions have caused the loss of American lives.
Then why, I guess, you know, if we already had a deal in place with Iran, a nuclear
power
in place.
That was an Obama deal. So anything linked to Obama has to be ripped up to shreds.
Just
because
has
it's
to get
weak.
Rid of it.
Everything.
Okay.
If you've noticed, one of the things that Trump has done is that any part of Obama's legacy has been ripped apart.
So like Obama used complete sentences. Can't do that. Obama did it.
That's
Obama
for
used
elitists, East Coast elitists,
limousine liberals.
Yes.
Obama used lowercase letters. Not gonna do it.
Not anymore.
You know,
what kind of fancy person are you that you're gonna use both uppercase and lowercase? Like you feel that you like you're so good that you need both upper and lowercase? Who do you think you are?
I guess I'm putting on airs. It's just who I am. Anything else about Trump? Because
No, that was it.
At some point, we do need to do our State of the Union episode, and I know we keep teasing it, and we may continue to tease it. But one of these
Why don't we set a date for Labor Day? Why don't we make our Labor Day issue What are we, a 1940s magazine? Head off the presses. Let's get the issue. Let's make Labor. How about Labor Day our State of the Union?
Let's push this to Labor Day.
Oh my God! You just saw right through my procrastination. I love it. It just seems odd to do it in the middle of August.
I understand. Well, it's July, so it's
But it's already the end of July. We have one more. We have one more episode this month, and then we're already in August. And clearly, I don't have enough time between now and next week to do all my research for the State of the Union.
All right, fair enough. Let's move on to WeWork companies. Making news this week because it's told its 6,000 global staff members that they will no longer be able to expense meals, including meat, and that it won't pay for any red meat, poultry, or pork at WeWork events. Trying to help the environment, apparently.
You know, I was outraged when I read this earlier today, and I'm not outraged anymore.
Okay, so why did you have outrage initially?
I felt outraged that here we have a company telling its employees what they can and cannot eat.
Okay.
And the more I read the article, it was, it basically was saying, as a company, we don't want to pay for, we don't want to pay for animals to be raised to be slaughtered. So therefore, we are going to serve vegetarian food. If you want to go out and eat meat, that's on you.
Right.
And actually, I don't have a problem so much anymore. I thought when I first read the article that they were banning all food from all WeWork offices.
So they're just going to starve their employees.
Well, no, that you can eat all the protein bars and pecans and pistachios that you could, but you weren't allowed to bring a burger in.
Right.
I mean, obviously, that's the next step. We do live in a slippery slope world. But for them to say as a company, we are not going to pay for this stuff, I think they have every right to, as much as I felt Chick-fil-A has every right to close on Sundays.
And, you know, they clarified a bit saying that individuals requiring medical or religious allowances are being referred to the company's policy team to discuss options. And, you know, there are there's a lot of companies actually there that are out there that are starting to promote alternatives to animals. You have Just Incorporated that currently has a vegan-friendly mayonnaise alternative. It says it plans to have what is called clean meat on the market by year end. Purple Carrot, which is a vegan meal kit company, recently won backing from Fresh Del Monte Produce. And then there's a startup called Wild Earth that's creating pet food with lab-created proteins.
All right.
I've heard that Impossible Burger is pretty good. That plant-based burger.
That's you want to try it this weekend?
Like a real burger? If we can find a place that has it, it's so popular, it's tough to find. Although I understand White Castle, certain White Castle locations are serving Impossible Burgers.
Ron, if you don't serve me meat at every meal this weekend, I will. I may eat one of your cats.
I mean, I'm already planning. Are you coming down Friday or Saturday, by the way?
I'm probably going to come down Saturday morning.
Oh, all right. That's. I mean, because I was going to make some steaks on Friday night.
I'm just coming down Saturday. We'll talk about it off off air.
Offline, yes.
Yes.
But again, you know, like you said, these guys are just trying to do some things to help the environment. You know, similar to like American Airlines, Starbucks, they're phasing out plastic straws and drink stirrers. So, I mean, you know, I think people complain that not enough's being done to help the environment. So can you then turn around and then complain when a company tries to do something to help the environment?
No, but I think the straw thing is silly.
Really?
Yeah, because I think you're serving so much plastic everywhere else. Starbucks, their food is wrapped in plastic. Their cold beverages are all served in plastic. That they're going to sit there and say, you know what, we're going to do. And don't get me wrong, every little bit helps, but the number of plastic cups that they put out there every day. Is a mountain compared to the number of straws that are used.
But the flip side of that is there's certain packaging that you can't get rid of. So
Like what?
Well, like you're saying, like the plastic packaging that, you know, goes around a piece of food or whatever, you know, is there a more environmentally friendly packaging that a consumer
Let's work on
that a consumer is willing, and they may be working on that, but I think you know, we talk, I mean, you are the king of low hanging fruit, as we saw earlier in this episode. I would say the plastic straws are the low hanging fruit of the recycling world.
Yeah, I would say so. And when the pumpkin and in about 2 months, when Starbucks brings back the pumpkin spice latte, I'm going to walk in with my own plastic straws and I'm going to drink the crap out of those lattes.
You drink hot beverages with plastic straws?
Absolutely.
Seems
while wearing my yoga pants and my UGG boots.
All right. So I think finally today we had wanted to revisit the new Sacha Baron Cohen show, Who is America? Episode 2 aired yesterday. And I have to admit, Brian, I have changed my opinion from last week.
Okay. Well, and your opinion last week was what? That it was trash.
I didn't think it was that good of a show. I didn't find it humorous. I just didn't. There was not a lot that I enjoyed about it.
Okay.
And I feel that maybe I was looking at it not in the way that I should have been looking at it. It's, you know, having watched episode 2, I don't think the intent of it is to be funny. I
100% agree with you.
And I think it really is a case of, you know, and I got depressed during episode 1 because he's showing us all these horrible people. But in looking at episode 2, I think it really just drives home that, you know, Who is America? It's a collection of really horrible people at this point.
Yes. And that was, I believe that he should have started stronger in the first episode.
Right.
I think that maybe had he flipped the order between episodes 1 and 2, that he would have, it would have been more grabbing. What's funny is that as you've gravitated towards it, I found myself a little bit more, I found myself more disappointed because I'm realizing that this is the exact same show he has always done. Where he has decided that he is going to put on the a character, and because of this character, he's going to get people to behave in ways that they normally wouldn't. And I felt that he's going for the lazy joke.
Really?
Yes. However, I will say this: I find the while I found it less funny than the Ellie G show, I found the fact that he has figured out the chemistry of, if I approach somebody as a character with whatever backstory I have to sell to get them to sit down in front of the video cameras, that I can actually, that I can get people to drop their guard and drop the pretense that they are a human being of redeeming value, and he exposes people for the garbage that they are. I thought the bit he did this week where he got in front of the residents, he had some focus group in Kingman, Arizona, where he said he was going to build a mosque and he wanted to know what their thoughts were, different designs and how the different building materials was going to protect the Muslims inside the mosque from. I thought it was just utter genius.
And the responses of the people there were very telling. I mean, you had one person that was like, hey, I am racist. I'm racist against Muslims. And I believe some person said, you know, that the black people that live in that area should feel lucky that they're allowed to live there.
Yes.
I mean, it was I don't know. I mean, again, this is Arizona. You see a lot. You see the politicians they elect in Arizona. So you shouldn't be exactly surprised that the people turn out to be that way. But it was the fact that there was no one in that room willing to argue with the people around them.
Right. Well, that's also what he showed.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to understand this is television and there's editing and whatnot. What I thought was very telling was somebody pointed out at one point that there was a requirement that before you entered the room, you were not allowed to bring in any weapons. and they were like, you know, this is, you know, the fact that that's the culture in that area, it is very much the Wild West. I felt that was probably the most telling part of his show to date. And he even had Dick Cheney describing which was his favorite war that he started. Was it the war in Iraq or the war in Afghanistan? He had Dick Cheney talking about dick torture and signing water boards, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he literally bamboozled Dick Cheney. The bit with the girl from The Bachelor was just a complete waste. It was, you know, I don't think anybody expects that girl to be an upstanding citizen. Once again, he just exposed that she would say anything or do anything. I mean, it was kind of cute. Adopt a child soldier for the veterans of tomorrow or whatever it was. But the thing in Kingman I thought was genius.
Yeah. Ted Koppel clearly saw through it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Shut it down. So, I mean, it's interesting to see that you know, you have someone like Corinne from The Bachelor who, you know, I think she was interviewed afterwards and felt that she knew something wasn't quite right, but she wanted the TV time. You know, she wanted that airtime versus someone like Ted Koppel who was like, you know what, this is a bunch of bullshit. This is a waste of my time. Let's shut it down. So you really have the two opposite ends of the spectrum there as far as people go. And then, I mean, the bit with State Representative Jason Spencer from Woodbine, Georgia, was fairly insane as well.
Utterly insane. And what he was able to have this guy do, and even Spencer even said that he was told that he was going to be making a video for other elected officials and how they could remain safe.
And you know, he was someone that had put out a bill because he introduced legislation involving the wearing of masks. And he even said it in the video. He's like, well, I have to say masks because if I say burqa, then that's not politically correct. So you have to word these things to, you know, get around the people that are going to rise up against you. And yeah, I mean, Sacha Baron Cohen got him to literally scream the N-word repeatedly. And then he even recorded a PSA aimed towards terrorists where he used the N-word again and, you know, said, well, you know, we'll cut off your dicks and shove them in your mouths. Shockingly, everyone in Georgia is now asking him to resign, but he had already lost his party primary, only has about 5 months left on the job, and he says he's just going to settle in there.
Well, I would do the exact same thing if I were him. I would also not be stupid enough to do to be caught being such an idiot on camera.
I would hope.
Well, you know what? On second thought, here I am podcasting my thoughts once a week for an hour. So maybe I'm not as smart as I think I am. I think that might be the lesson for the week. Maybe I'm not smart as I think I am.
And I think my lesson for the week is, you know, we're seeing who America is, and it's a sad thing. It's a very sad thing. If I can go off on a tangent here. Can I go off on a tangent here for a minute?
I'm the tangent king, so you're not entering my territory.
Because I think, you know, when I look at this, what I think back to is I think back to a few weeks ago when the U.S. pulled out of the Human Rights Commission of the U.N. and everybody got all up in arms at that point. And you know, I at the time I was like, yeah, this is bullshit. What the fuck are we doing? But as I thought about it, like one of the reasons we went into the UN, went into the Human Rights Coalition to begin with, we initially weren't in it. We went into it with the thought that, you know, we're dealing with countries that have huge civil rights violations. Maybe we can teach them something. But I think it's better that we're not in it, because who are we to teach any other country right now about civil rights when we teach? When we treat immigrants the way that we treat them, when we treat our own people the way that they're treated, between the need for prison reform, poverty, you know, veterans being homeless and on the street, children going to sleep hungry. We're one of the worst countries in the way that we treat our people right now. And we're one of the worst countries in the way our people treat each other. And I think that's what this show is really starting to emphasize. And hopefully people see it and people think, you know, and hopefully it promotes some change, because there was a lot of scary shit in that episode last night.
I genuinely have nothing to add on top of that. I have nothing to add. That was was very well stated, and I couldn't agree with you more. That is why you're the deity to my go-go.
Remember that, my friend. Remember that. All right. I don't think we have anything else to talk about this week.
It's been a pleasure.
We appreciate you all tuning in, listening. You know, please make sure to subscribe on iTunes. Share us with your friends. Pass us around. We're like a nice party favor.
Leave us a 5-star review. Don't hesitate. I think I've left a review. I think you have as well. We need to get a couple reviews into the system before iTunes is willing to start ranking us. So we're focusing on iTunes. We've got a Facebook where we're doing a lot of content on right now. Instagram starting to post some pics. Do not hesitate to send us some requests for subjects you want us to discuss. We appreciate the drinks of the week, which will be next week. As you can see, people, you talk, we listen, and we want you involved.
We're very user-friendly.
Yes, absolutely. Ron, right, it's been a pleasure.
We'll have some good stories of Ron and Brian in Philadelphia next week on top of everything else we cover. So until next week, everybody, thanks for joining us. Brian, as always, it's been fun.
Always.
Catch you on the flip.